gospel story seems a little out of character, or rather out of sync. We're hearing here a story that in Matthew's gospel took place after the visit of the Magi. And if we look at the calendar, we have yet to even celebrate the Feast of Epiphany. That doesn't come until the 6th of January, later this week. But no mind. It's more about the importance and the meaning of what is being related in the gospel story. None of the stories about Jesus' birth and childhood are really meant to be a biography of Jesus. All of them have what we might say is a theological meaning. In other words, they're there to tell us something about Jesus. And in particular, especially in Matthew and in Luke, we get these stories, we call them the infancy narratives, in order to give us a clear idea of who Jesus is. That's really their purpose. If we look at the other two Gospels, we see that Mark has absolutely no mention of Jesus as a child or even as a teenager. And John launches immediately into a theological reflection about the meaning of Jesus' mission and ministry. It is only in Matthew and Luke that we have these stories. And in reality, if we are honest with ourselves, we often conflate those two gospels. We sort of make a harmonized narrative out of them. We sort of weave them together. If we look at Luke, we find no mention of the Magi, no mention of angels appearing to Joseph in dreams, as if we have today's gospel lesson. And in Matthew, we don't see anything about shepherds abiding in the field, tending their flocks by night, that tender story that we told again just this last Christmas. Now, even these two gospels have their own purposes. Today, we hear from Matthew's gospel, we hear that bit of the story about Jesus having heard, or rather Joseph having heard, that there are those who are wanting to threaten the baby Jesus. Herod, the one who is now the king in Israel, having had the visit from the Magi, is afraid that this newborn is somehow going to dethrone him, take away his power, take away his kingdom. And maybe he's right. But not in the way he's thinking. He's thinking in the ways of the world. He's thinking in the ways of politics, that somehow this baby is going to grow up and raise an army and remove Herod from his throne. That wasn't Jesus' purpose at all. But rather, because this is at the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, we must understand that the kingdom that Herod fears is not so much a kingdom of a usurper, of someone who would come along and dethrone him, but rather the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God which has no throne, it has no palace or temple. The kingdom of God lives in the hearts of those who believe. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of the children of God. The kingdom of God is a place where the lowly are raised up and the rich and the powerful are cast down, where the differences in society are leveled out, when in the kingdom of God there is neither rich nor poor, strong or weak. There are only those that are called children of God, and God provides for each and all of his children. We don't quite live there yet. All we need to do is look around our world, look around at the political situation in so many nations throughout the world, and we realize that more of them are like Herod than they are like Jesus. That they're jealous of power, they're jealous of keeping their position, they're jealous of wanting to be powerful in the eyes of people, so that they, in their strength, can rule and make in the world what they think is what is right. Sometimes what they think is right is not right at all, because what they think is right is anything that raises them up and makes them more keenly loved by the people in such a way that they themselves secure a place in their minds forever. We know, in fact, that no regime in any nation, in any world, in any imperial power, none of them last forever. Not the Romans, not the Greeks, not the empires of the Middle Ages, not the British Empire, and not even the hegemony, the power that we in our own nation enjoy. No, this too will go away if we do not open our minds and hearts to the very power of God's kingdom. It is only those nations, only those society, only those peoples who find themselves to be truly children of God and begin to live out the values of the kingdom of God that can find a more permanent place in the world. The church has often made that mistake. It has often thought that it was the kingdom of God. And so if we could just convert the nation, convert the political leaders of any particular people or society to our way of thinking, then we would have power ourselves. When we do that, we are a little different than the leaders of the world. We fail to see ourselves truly as God's children. We fail to see ourselves in the child, in Christ. Instead, we begin to see ourselves Herod, who was so jealous of his power and his prestige and his wealth that he slaughtered the firstborn of all Israel so that they themselves would not become king. We should never want to be king. That's the first point. And we should always want to live truly as God's children, with generosity of heart, an openness of mind, and a willingness to hear what God has to teach us. And then our hearts must be softened and transformed in such a way as we are constantly seeking the will of God in our lives. If we do that, we have no need to be jealous of someone else's coming. We have no need to grab power and prestige and political influence for ourselves, because in point of fact, God is already king in our hearts. As we hear today's gospel lesson, we are reminded that it is in the kingdom of God that we find our truest power. Because the power of the Spirit lives in our hearts. And as St. Paul tells us, we are given spiritual blessing after spiritual blessing. And there is no earthly power that can take that away from us. And so it is that we must first, as Matthew will say later, seek the kingdom of God, and all else that we need will follow. On this Sunday, then, this second Sunday of Christmas, let us renew our dedication to following Christ as our King. And as he is called up out of exile in Egypt, as Israel was called up out of exile in Egypt, that we would enthrone not a king, not any political leader, but God in our hearts, and allow God's power to to be supreme.